Well, if I asked you the question, who are you? I wonder what you'd say. You give me your name. I'm John Smith, yes. But who are you? Who are you? Oh, I'm Tony's son. I'm Esmeralda's husband. I'm Jimmy's best mate. I captain the football team. I work for Katrin in the department store. Who are you? I wonder how you define yourself. Like many of us, the Bible character Job defines himself by his relationships, who he's related to in various contexts. But the trouble is that Job's relationships have imploded. In a single day, as we've seen, in a single dreadful day, Job lost his animals, he lost his servants, he even lost his children. And when later he utterly lost his health, even his wife turned against him. And then over the course of many chapters of debate, so did his friends. His friends turned against him as well. But worse than that, and there is something worse than that, Job found himself floundering in this thick, silent darkness, looking for his God. We have a great chance this evening. A chance to learn with Job some lessons about relationships that he learned the hard way. Some of us learn them the hard way as well. But we have a chance to learn about who we are and how and why to relate with others. Job is singing a song or a poem. It's more like a funeral song, actually. He's been arguing with people for chapter after chapter after chapter as he sits on top of a pile of no doubt smoking rubbish ash like some grey Guy Fawkes. And last week he paused to meditate among his questions on the subject of wisdom as he desperately searched for the answer to his questions, why? But now in chapter 29-31, Job cranks up the tension to breaking point. This is the end of his debates and his monologues until the very end of the book. He cranks the tension right up. And first in chapter 29, he sings nostalgically, like a jilted lover, as it were, with a mournful guitar, looking back. He sings firstly in chapter 29, "I thought we were friends. I thought we were friends. On the one hand, I thought we were friends, me and God." In verses 1 to 6, "I thought we were friends, me and God." Have a look with me, would you? Chapter 29 and verse 1. Job continued his discourse. "How I long for the days. How I long for the months gone by. For the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty was still with me, and my children were around me, when my path was drenched with cream, and the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil." "I thought we were friends, me and God," cries Job. "Now I long for the days when God watched over me. I'm desperate for the time when God's intimate friendship seemed to bless my house. I thought we were friends, me and God." "Remember," says Job, "the good old days. I feared God. Like in the Narnia books, we fear the lion Aslan, but we love him passionately as well. I feared God like that. I loved it because he taught me to say no and to shun evil." Are you friends with God like that? "And God blessed me. He drenched me with blessings like a fire hydrant. Health and wealth, family and friends. I thought we had an understanding. I thought we were friends, me and God. And I thought we were friends, me to others. I thought I was a friend to others." Pick it up with me at verse 11, would you? Verse 11. Whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me, because I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist him. The man who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. I thought we were friends, me to others. I'm not just talking about on the internet having 500 friends or acquaintances or special friends or whatever they're meant to be called. I mean, I really tried to be such a good friend to people. Yes, I was the richest man in town, but I tried to do good. I was a bit like Bill Gates, king of computers, but giving billions of dollars to charity. Only I related more personally in my town. Suppose I knew the names of the people I looked after. I tried to do the right thing by everyone. Wonder if you use God's blessings to bless others like that. Wonder if we use God's gifts to give to others like that. It's a thrilling way to live. I thought we were friends. Me to others. In fact, verse 21, the men listened to me expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. After I had spoken, they spoke no more. My words fell gently on their ears. They waited for me as for showers and drank in my words as the spring rain. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. The light of my face was precious to them. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. I dwelt as a king among his troops. I was like one who comforts mourners. I was the man. Everyone loved me. I was everyone's hero, champion, king. Is that your ambition? To be popular? To have lots of friends? To be liked? I've been there. I thought we were friends. But in the blink of an eyelid, those relationships all came crashing down around me like a pile of rubble, a thundering heap. And so, secondly, I find we're not friends. I find we're not friends in chapter 30. Let's look at chapter 30, verse 1. But now they mock me, men younger than I, whose fathers I would have disdained to put with my sheepdogs. Now they mock me. But now I find we aren't friends, cried Job. In verse 9, now their sons mock me in song. I have become a byword among them. They detest me and keep their distance. They do not hesitate to spit in my face. Can you picture him sitting on his heap of rubbish and the passers-by this spitting on him as they pass? I find we aren't friends, me with others. No one says thank you. No one says thank you. They make fun of me. Even the lowest of the low make fun. Or do you think they call me with my horrible skin? Spotty? I find we aren't friends anymore. Verse 12, they are attacking me. These comforters are attacking me like army tanks crashing irresistibly into my home, blowing my head off with their bombshells. Verse 15, terrors overwhelm me. I find we aren't friends, me with others. Do you feel like that sometimes? Abandoned, lonely, let down. But worse still, much worse still, I find we aren't friends, me with God, either. I could maybe cope with losing my friends, just about. And one day after many decades, I might even learn to live without my family. But not this. I seem to have lost friends with God as well. Verse 20, chapter 30, verse 20. Can you see? I cry out to you, O God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me. You turn on me ruthlessly. With the might of your hand, you attack me. You snatch me up and drive me before the wind. You toss me about in a storm. I know that you will bring me down to death, to the place appointed for all the living. Find we aren't friends. Me with God. I'm constantly asking for you, God, but you're always busy. Just pick up the handset, won't you, God? What is this? A telephone call center? I don't want to know. I'm an extremely valued customer. Hello? It's your friend, Job. But you blast me away. You blast me away like a plastic bag in a hurricane. Why are you kidding me slowly, kidding me softly? I find we aren't friends, me with God, after all. I've fallen from grace faster than Stuart Hall in the media. I've fallen from grace faster than Luis Suarez in football. But I've done nothing wrong. Humpty Dumpty would be proud of me. I thought we were friends. I find we're not. A bit like Jesus. Because you know better than me, I won't be the only one. There is a greater hero, a greater champion, the darling son of heaven, the one they sing about in the heavenly armies as they charge to victory under his banner. There's one who's so close to God, he's united in the Trinity. They'd explain that one day. They'd call him the Son. I gave eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. He healed the blind. He made them to see. He made the lame to walk. He'll feed the hungry and raise the dead. He'll live and die to rescue the helpless and hopeless. He, above all, will be friends with God and others. And yet the prophet Isaiah tells us what happens next. Isaiah 53 verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Job says first, I thought we were friends. Secondly, I find we're not. Not with God, not with others, just like Jesus. But what did this all mean for us here today, tonight, in Chippenham? Well, the clues lie in Job's third and final words of defiance. This is where we turn the key to clarity. In chapter 31. Thirdly and finally, what went wrong? What went wrong? Chapter 31 and verse 2. For what is man's lot from God above? His heritage from the Almighty on high. What is man's lot? What went wrong? Job shouts. Enough is enough. I'm throwing down the gauntlet, God. It's time to fess up or face up. What went wrong? What have I done to deserve this? Where did I fail to be a friend to someone? Which relationship did I mess up? I realize it's all about relationships, you see. I know that. I know, God, you're not really interested in what I eat or what I drink or what I wear at the altar. You're about the heart, God. I realize that. Well, check out my heart, God. Here it is. Slap, bang. on the table. Test me, God. What went wrong? What went wrong? Was it lust? No. Verse 1. See verse 1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. I didn't lust. So what went wrong? Was it lies? No. Verse 5. If I've walked in falsehood or my feet has hurried after deceit, let God weigh me in honest scales and he will know that I am blameless. If my steps have turned from the path, if my heart has been led by my eyes, or if my hands have been defiled, then may others eat what I have sown, and my crops be uprooted. I didn't lie. So what went wrong? Was it adultery? No. Verse 9. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then may my wife grind another man's grain. May other men sleep with her. It wasn't adultery. So what went wrong? Was it injustice? No. Verse 13. If I have denied justice to my men servants and maid servants, when they had a grievance against me, what will I do when God confronts me? What will I answer when called to account? I wasn't unjust. So what was it? Was I selfish? No. Verse 16. If I have denied the desires of the poor or let the eyes of the widow grow weary, if I have kept my bread to myself, not sharing it with the fatherless, but from my youth I reared him as with a father, and from my birth I guided a widow. I wasn't selfish. So what went wrong? Idolatry? Maybe the idolatry of money? No. Verse 24. If I put my trust in gold or said to pure gold, you are my security. If I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune my hands had gained. If I have regarded the sun in its radiance or the moon moving in splendor, so that my heart was secretly enticed and my hand offered them a kiss of homage, then these also would be sins to be judged. For I would have been unfaithful to God on high. But no, I didn't. I wasn't an idolater. So what went wrong? Was it unkindness, perhaps? No. Verse 29. If I have rejoiced in my enemy's misfortune or gloated over the trouble that came to him, if I have not allowed my mouth to sin by invoking a curse against his life, if the men of my household have never said, who has not had his fill of Job's meat, but no stranger had to spend the night in the street, for my door was always open to the traveller. I wasn't unkind. So what went wrong? Oh, I know. I've got it. I wasn't environmentally friendly. That was it, wasn't it? That's the sin of our age. I wasn't green enough. Over-exploitation. No. Verse 38. If my land cries out against me, and all its furrows are wet with tears, if I have poured its yield without payment or broken the spirit of his tenants, then let briars come up instead of wheat, and wheat instead of barley. I wasn't even environmentally unfriendly. What went wrong, says Job? Job says, I'm so sure of my innocence, God. This is me. Here's my heart. Blitz me if I'm guilty. What went wrong? What went wrong was that Job got his relationships upside down. Job thought that a friend to others must necessarily be a friend to God. Yes, Job was a friend to others. Yes, he feared God and shunned evil. He was blameless and upright. But the problem was Job thought now God absolutely had to be a friend to him, to bless him. And that's what went wrong. In the end, Job's logic was similar to his friends' false logic. Job's friends, as we've been seeing over the past 20 chapters or so, thought the life is like a perfect slot machine. A perfect slot machine. So you put in a pound, because chocolate's expensive these days. You put in your pound, you press number 23, And that pops a Mars bar. Every time. Do good, God will bless you. His friends thought, do evil and God will curse you. That's what Job's friends said. Life is a perfect slot machine. And Job seems to think now, yes, life is a slot machine, but it's a broken slot machine. I wonder if you've ever used a broken slot machine. Isn't it the most annoying thing in the world? So you're at your desk, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's warm, you had your lunch, you're dozing off, and it's so hard to keep your eyes open. And you remember that in the kitchenette there's a chocolate machine. So you toddle off to the kitchen, you get out your coin, and you push it in the machine, your precious pound coin, and it falls down. Nothing happens! And maybe that silver coil goes round a little bit, but it judders, and the giant Kit Kat gets stuck just before it tips over the edge. It's 3 inches from you, but you can't get to it through this pane of perspex. Isn't it annoying? And Job seems to think the world's like that. He thought he'd done his bit to perfection. He thought he was a friend of people and a follower of God. He'd done his part, but God hasn't coughed up. And Job is left empty-handed and empty-pocketed. He's been jilted. And what went wrong? And as we might kick at that slot machine in anger to try and get that wretched Kit Kat to fall down, so perhaps here Job steps over the line. He goes too far. He defies God to explain himself. He throws down the gauntlet at God. He drags God into a cosmic court. As God will say in chapter 38, verse 2, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Up till now, Job has been asking the question, why? And that's been fine, hasn't it? He's been grappling with God, which is the thing to do when you suffer, isn't it? Not to grapple with anywhere else, but to grapple with God, the one who has the answers, the one who loves us. But now perhaps he goes over the line in dragging God into court. Job got his relationships upside down. Job thought that a friend to others must necessarily be a friend of God. But God's not a slot machine. God's not a computer games console. In my mind, I know they're not like this anymore, but in my mind, you know, you've got a computer games console and you plug your game in and then the game plays. Job's plugged his game in, but it hasn't played. But we can't control God like that. By contrast, here is the thrilling, thirst-quenching kiss of life. We can be friends with God through his Son. We can be friends with God through his Son. The wages of sin is death. That's a slot machine. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can be friends with God through his Son. So savour this delight. Jesus had the nickname Friend. Friend of sinners and tax collectors. A friend of enemies. That was his nickname. He said to his disciples the night before he died, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. Instead, I've called you friends. We can be friends with God through his Son. Jesus, who lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died. So our track record of thoughts and words, even actions, means God should treat us as enemies, Jesus warned. But as we kneel at the cross of Jesus and he dies to take our punishment, then the risen Jesus walks us into the Father's presence as friends, and God treats us exactly as he would Jesus. Let's suck on that truth every day. It's enough joy for eternity. And if you've never knelt at the cross of Jesus, won't you do that at your bedside tonight? We can be friends with God through his Son. Then let's be friends to others in his strength. Let's be friends to others in God's strength. Let's get it the right way round. See, the question is not, should God be a friend to us? He's done that already in Jesus, as we trust in him. The question is, shall we be a friend to others? It's tempting to raise our eyebrows at Job's self-righteousness. How can Job be so cheeky, we wonder, to claim that he's so good in all these different areas? Does he seriously think he's so good? The truth is, we don't know. We don't know quite how good Job was. We do know God has said elsewhere, there is no one else on earth like him. Let's learn from Job's example. No doubt he was a sinner, but he did faintly foreshadow the moral perfection of our champion Jesus. We can't do it by ourselves. We need the resurrection power of Jesus. We need him to keep picking us up from the mud as we mess up, forgiving us again. Let us be friends to others in God's strength. Three very brief examples. Let's be pure friends to others. Have a look with me, would you? Chapter 31, verse 1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Pure friends. So the summer frocks and pretty tops are out. And the devil wants to drag us blokes to hell by our eyeballs. But I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl, says Job. Ladies, please have mercy and dress modestly. You don't understand the power of testosterone. Blokes, let's pray every morning for godliness in this area. And while we're about it, check out the computer software called Covenant Eyes. I guess that's where I got the name from, Covenant Eyes, to help protect ourselves on the internet. Let's be pure friends to others. And let's be honest friends to others. Glance forward to verse 5, chapter 31, verse 5. If I have walked in falsehood, or my foot has hurried after deceit, let God weigh me in honest scales, and he will know that I am blameless. If I have walked in falsehood, or my foot has hurried after deceit, let God weigh me in honest scales, and he will know that I am blameless. Honest friends. Isn't honesty rarer than diamonds? So we do some secret sin, or just some embarrassing thing, and someone asks a question, and how easy it is to tell a lie, to cover it up and make it 10 times worse, and almost only to realize it afterwards. And in business, how easy it is to play games with the truth. And as we're chatting with a friend, how easy to agree with things they say that actually aren't true. But no, let's be honest friends to others. And finally, let's be kind friends to others, as we look on to verse 16. If I have denied the desires of the poor, or let the eyes of the widow grow weary, if I have kept my bread to myself, not sharing it with the fatherless, but from my youth I reared him as would a father, from my birth I guided the widow. From my youth I reared the fatherless as would a father, and from my birth I guided the widow. Kind friends. Jesus said, talking primarily about evangelism, Jesus said, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. how difficult it is to see the sin of greed in our lives. How difficult to see the giant golden idol called my bank account, camouflaged as it is against the materialism of our culture. Let us be generously practical in caring for the poor, those in need around us. And we've been hearing, some of us today, how many very poor people there are even in Chippenham. And not forgetting Christians in desperation around the world. And let's be kind not only with money, but with homes and food and time. Let's be kind friends to others. Let's be friends through God's strength. Well, we began by asking, who would you say you are? Sam's daughter, Kitty's best friend, personnel manager, dog's body in that team on the shop floor. I guess like Job, we do define ourselves by relationship to others. But Job thought that a friend to others must necessarily be a friend of God's. Whereas it's the other way around. The question is, what would happen, and for some of us this is a reality, what would happen if our relationships went up in smoke, as Job's did? Is Jesus our anchor in heaven? Then how shall we relate with others?